Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100-day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, will be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world.
Is read by the fantastic actor Paul Sorvino.
We are a driven creature. We need to learn and to know and to grow.
And we would like to welcome back our guest host this week, writer, actress, and Marvel red carpet host, Tamara Krinsky.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Hello. I wish you all could like see my face watching him say that quote. There's just such like, oh, gravitas in there.
Yeah, I love him so much. And Star Trek fans will remember that he played Worf's human half-brother on The Next Generation. So I've been a fan for a long time.
He's a national treasure,
absolutely.
Frankly. He's one of those actors that once you realize he's been in everything that
mm-hmm.
you loved.
Mm-hmm.
And he's played both sides of the left.
Can I jump in and say this quote is so seussical to me? Like, it rings a little seussical, but I love how short and simple and tight it mm-hmm. is. Like, we're a driven creature. Listen, tomorrow we're actresses. We know we're driven creatures. Or I'll speak for myself.
No, I'm there with you.
Yeah, driven person and Trent too, you know, and we're all driven. But I love that it's short, it's sweet, it's tight, because it's like you can be driven, but if you don't learn mm-hmm. and then synthesize what you've learned, you can't grow. Like as a little kid, I was a kid going, but why? And my parents would go, it's like this. And I go, yeah, but why? Mm-hmm. And then they go, because this. And I go, yeah, but why? Mm-hmm. And then they're like, shut up. But my point was, I still am the same way. I'm like, no, but why does this do this? In fact, it's like, I've mentioned here, I like sewing. I like making fashion. But part of it was, why doesn't store-bought stuff fit me the way that it should? Right? Why? Oh, well, I've learned my proportions now. I've learned that I'm shorter here and longer mm-hmm. here. Why? It helps me figure out the why by doing. And that's kind of what this quote is saying. We need to learn. We need to know and grow. What do you guys think?
Well, the first thing that resonated with me was, again, Gene refers to humans as creatures. So I it's such a charming word, and he uses it over and over and over again. So I love that, and I want to point that out one more time. And it's also one of his more lyrical quotes. Like, many of his quotes they're beautiful, and they're rich with meaning, and some of them are short and sweet, and a couple of them are lyrical. And this one is one of his more lyrical ones, and it just showcases another aspect of Gene Roddenberry that people may not think about. Like, we think about him as this sci-fi legend and this visionary man and larger than life, and he was big in stature, and he created something that so many people love around the world for 55 years now. And then there's also this lyrical side of him too, which I don't know. It's just something that's unexpected, that whenever we get one of his quotes that's more lyrical, and I'm like, oh, that's like another side of this curious, unusual creature that we know as Gene Roddenberry.
Okay, so you just gave me the perfect on-ramp into what this quote is making me think about. I love that. Because for me, it really is about this idea of curiosity. You know, I, like both of you, we all do a lot of different things. We all have a lot of different way. We talked the other day about art and being an artist. We have a lot of different way of exploring, you know, how we like to comment on the world and the art that we like to create. For me, you know, what I've realized, because people used to be like, well, what do you do? And I was like, well, I do this and I do this and I do this.
Yeah.
And what I finally realized is that one of the through lines of pretty much all the work that I do is curiosity. whether it's interviewing somebody because I want to know what's going on in their brain or how they made something, mm-hmm. whether I'm acting, in which case I get to be the one working in tandem with a writer, of course, but I get to be the one who decides what a character is thinking. You know, I'm part of a creative team called Sirens, which is a play on screen sirens for science. And the idea of our group is that entertainment can be an on-ramp for scientific curiosity and science literacy, which is so necessary in our world, but it's all driven by curiosity. So this yeah. idea of learning, of growing, of knowing, wash, rinse, repeat, that to me really, really hits home. And then the other thing, and I'm going to totally pivot now, is, and I'm so curious about both of your thoughts on this, is, okay, so we're driven to gain this knowledge, right? So how many times do we see the trope in entertainment of the mad scientist, you know, and when she wants to take over the world? And yes, I did say she, because we do need to keep putting images of female scientists out there no matter what we do. Mm-hmm. But like, I go to, you know, look at our real world right now. We've got, you know, developments in CRISPR and gene editing, everything that's happening right now with AI, everything that's happening with robotics and how algorithms are taking over our lives for better and for worse sometimes with the way that they're fed.
So Skynet should be going live about tomorrow.
Pretty much, right?
We're heading.
Pretty much. So this idea that we're driven to keep discovering these things, is there a point when there's too much knowledge, when we tip a threshold? Do we keep going, you know?
Yeah, we keep going.
It's interesting. It's interesting to think about, is there too much? I don't think there's too much. I think the question becomes, what do we do with that knowledge once we have it? Once we have one of those breakthroughs, what then? How do we use that new discovery or that new technology for what end? To help people? To make money? To push people down in terms of to control people or to free people? I mean, that's the question. So
listen, I get worried about with the gene. Listen, it's all great. We need this for health, right? Like we need all of it. But I do get a little worried on the eugenics tip. You know, I really worry about that because it almost seems like we're heading backwards to that period, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It like some of the things that are happening today harken right back. So if you don't know, most people know, but eugenics is, you know, is the science of like build a better human, theoretically. But it ended up being build a better white human, you know. It's the Nazis loved it, let's put it that way.
Yeah,
for a reason.
Yes, as a nice Jewish girl from Jersey, I am not a fan of eugenics.
No, and
I or Nazis,
half a Jew myself, and so the rise of fascism is like literally the opposite of this, because like I always make fun of the Proud Boys or the incels, because they are the opposite of a driven creature that needs to learn to know and to grow. Like the incels are like, nobody's attracted to me, so I'm gonna go shoot up people, instead of learning, we need to learn how to make yourselves more appealing. How about that? Be a better conversationalist. I'm not even talking about your looks. I'm saying how you be a more appealing human being when you're around other people, and then you grow. You don't just go, I'm a white man, no one will sleep with me, here's my gun.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very odd time period we're in right now. And that's not, you know, a little off topic, because again, this quote is literally optimistic about being, you know, we're driven creatures and we want to know, grow. But it does. I mean, again, this is part of my psyche as a Black woman, to be honest, is, and I don't love that part of it, but I can't help but look at something like this, anything, parse anything in my world through that prism, you know? And I don't want to default to what are people doing and how are they going to use it against me because of my skin color?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a subconscious thought, I think, that minority people have, to be honest, you know? And eugenics.
Understandably so.
To wrap it just back up with eugenics, like, I think all that, if we're aware, there is a way to ride the wave of technology, because we're in the wild, wild west of it now. We're in the infancy. I've always said I should have been born centuries away from now so I could be in the stars in a ship. Trent, what about you?
This idea of genetic manipulation is a big story point that happens in the various Star Trek franchises. Khan was genetically manipulated and he was a villain, and eugenics was outlawed in the Federation. But then we learn in Star Trek Deep Space Nine that Dr. Julian Bashir, a Persian character, it turns out that he was genetically manipulated as a child not because they were trying to make a superhuman, but because he had a learning disability and his parents defied the law to have him become genetically manipulated just so he could be, you know, could learn with all the other kids. But then he just became really smart, and he was so tortured by this, by hiding the secret, and we learned this in his story arc on the series, that he was he used all of this knowledge for the betterment of mankind. So in Star Trek, when we talk about genetic manipulation, we also have both sides of the coin. We have Khan, who was the negative aspect of what genetic manipulation can be. And then we have Dr. Julian Bashir, who was, you know, a positive example of how that breakthrough in technology and science was able to better not only his life, but all of the people and patients and all life forms that he served as a medical doctor.
Tamar, do you think we'll be able to synthesize all these new things that are, you know, new inventions, new ways of dealing with the human body? Do you think we'll be able to synthesize it in a way that's good for the whole as opposed to just the few? Because, of course, you know, I the 1% is always going to get a super great cutting edge medical treatment, you know?
Sure. I mean, look, I'd love to be my nature is to be optimistic. Mm-hmm. I got to be honest, like going through the pandemic and a lot of the things that were happening in the world during that time, but really looking at the way that healthcare happened both here in the United States and around the world, it has put a healthy dose of cynicism into my body. And I hate that because I'd rather be optimistic. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not an idealist, I think. I think I'm a little more grounded than that. But right now it's hard to believe that we will, for lack of a better phrase, get our shit together and make sure everybody does have equal access to everything and that the few and the privileged will not always have more.
I struggle because I think ultimate power does kind of corrupt. But then again, like, you know, the producer of our podcast is a powerful guy and he's super nice. So I know that, or my friend I've mentioned before, Bill Prady, was a producer of Create a Big Bang. It's nicest guy in the world.
Well,
so
like
I know.
Bill Gates, I mean, look, there's other stuff, but like, he's helped many, many millions of people around the world. You know, I mentioned earlier I have a daughter, and living in LA, where it's a city where there's a lot of wealth and a lot of wealth disparity. And so, you know, one of the things we talk about is like, what do you have versus what do you need? And in some of the stories that she watches and some of the shows, money for better or for worse is kind of it's kind of villainized. Like, you know, there's the trope of like, if you are poor, you are noble, and if you are wealthy, you are evil and you're going to do bad things and be snooty or whatever it is. And part of what we talk about is the idea that's not how things are in the real world. And ultimately, whatever means you have, it's the decisions that you make. So, and that kind of brings it back around to the quote of, you know, we need to learn, we need to know, we need to grow so that we can make good decisions about what we do in our life with the resources that we have.
And I have to agree with you. Like, there are many things that we've seen in this pandemic that has been very disheartening and painful to see, the negativity and the bad parts of people. But then when I also see, like, the vaccine rollout, for example, it's been, you know, handled, at least in the state of California, very, very well, open to anyone, no cost. You know, and it really shows us that we can do it if we want to, if it's important enough to save people's lives, if it's important enough to care for one another and care for us in the same breath by, you know, protecting ourselves and then protecting others. And then we're all protected. It shows us that we can do it. So I agree that, you know, the 1%, yes, it's always maybe not always, but it's pretty certain that they're always going to get served first. But I do believe in the human spirit, and in the long run, by the 23rd century, maybe we'll finally get it figured out. And it will be a much more humanitarian and loving way that we treat one another, as opposed to a more me-centric way.
No, I love how optimistic that is. And the other, lastly on this quote, it just reminds me, it reminds me of curiosity, right? We are a driven creature. We need to learn, to know, and to grow. So, very lastly, Tamara, did curiosity kill Schrodinger's cat?
Oh, come on. We can't. Alive and dead at the same time. But once you know, you know, and then you have to pick one.
Kind of like me. All right. So you guys, we're going to wrap this up. And if you want to see a video or any of the video from this week's episodes, you can go to our Roddenberry social media pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Right, Trent?
Yeah. And Tamara's with us for one more episode tomorrow. Yay! So you have to come back and join us again for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote. So tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We are at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.